This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is Fans and the Pros here on WWL. Deuce McAllister. I'm Zach Streif here with you till 7 o'clock tonight before we pass it off to the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. The New Orleans Saints get back on track last week against the Detroit Lions, 35-29 in Detroit. And, you know, Deuce, it's always amazing to me how quickly – beliefs or attitudes about a team can change literally week to week. So, you know, 1 week ago we're talking about this offense and is the offense going to be capable of performing, and we haven't seen them look the same, and Drew Brees is no good anymore. And, you know, you sit here, the number five scoring offense in football, as they put on a real clinic in the second and third quarters against the Detroit Lions, and suddenly – you start getting guys back, and everyone's kind of back on the train again here in New Orleans.
Well, hey, Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, my man. Yeah, I'm glad to talk to you tonight.
You just wanted to go straight into our subject and how the Saints are turned around and the national media are pubbing them as the, what, second-best team, third-best team in the NFC just because they won one game. Is that the case now?
Yes, against the Detroit Lions, who had lost 11 of their last 12. Interesting. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense, but it is what it is, right?
That's normally how it goes. And you know, for the Saints, I think from a confidence standpoint, it definitely helps because of how it happened or how it unfolded with having so many guys out and down. And, you know, we never thought that this Saints team was a bad team. We just didn't think they were playing really well. And, you know, I think – you go back and you look at it, and after they've reviewed the film and they're, you know, to the point of moving on, they'll tell you, man, there's still a lot of improvement for us to be able to go and do. And so you know, one quarter out of the way, but you're happy to be able to win without some of those starters, as you mentioned, and you're happy to be able to eliminate some of the mistakes that you had been making. And, you know, you hope to be able to do it again this week as far as Monday is concerned, because it's, you just want to win one game before you can win 7, 8, 9, 10 in a row. Just win one game.
You know, Deuce, you say, you know, the way in which you win and you know, the injuries that they had and all those problems. I think one of the things that you take away from this that I think is building a lot of confidence even internally for the Saints is the guys that stepped up into some of those roles, the way Tre'Quan Smith played in that football game, the way Emmanuel Sanders played in that football game. You know, even on the defensive side of the ball, and you see a guy like Patrick Robinson come and have a great performance, P.J. Williams step up in a big way for that team defensively. So, you know, you're building, and we had talked about the depth of this football team. That had been something that we talked about in the offseason, and really that's been a national conversation. It's one of the deeper teams in the National Football League, and they played like it, right? They played like it. They had six Pro Bowl players, starters, out of their lineup, and quite honestly played as good as they've played, certainly through the middle part of that game. I don't know so much about the bread of that sandwich in the first and fourth quarters, but certainly in the middle of this football game, played at a high level without those guys. And I think as you move forward and you know, there's the inevitable realities of any season. You're going to be down guys again.
I agree. And you're going to need, even once you're healthy, there will be an opportunity for maybe a guy that hadn't been a star or hadn't had the prime time opportunity of snaps to be able to go out and make a play. And so if you can go out when they do get a multitude of reps and they can go out and perform, and now their rep count may go back down where they only may be involved in maybe 20 plays, but during those 20 plays, they got an opportunity to make a play on three of those plays. They're confident that they can make that play. And so, you know, whether now it's about maybe we can rest such and such. He doesn't have to play 80% of the plays. You know, maybe we can play him at 72% of the plays or 70% of the plays, just because we do have confidence in a young player being able to step in. And so, you know, knock on wood, hopefully injuries, you're not fighting that the whole season. But, you know, that's where we are right now. You have different guys being able to step in and step up and, you know, show that they can handle a heavier or bigger workload.
The Saints also, you bring up the injuries. They didn't get out of this football game unscathed as well. Lose Ryan Ramczyk during the football game. We also watched Justin Hardy and Deonte Harris leave the football game. Those two guys, the former two, neither one practiced yesterday. Janoris Jenkins still not practicing, but we saw a big list of players return to practice on Thursday and, you know, start to kind of maybe get some of these guys back, and we'll have to wait and see. You know, we saw Mike Thomas return to practice last week, didn't appear in the game. And so as they start getting healthier and as this team starts to kind of come back around to what, you know, it was intended to be when the season started, you almost wonder, and this is always a question of the bye week, and when is it a good week? If the Saints get a win here, if the Saints get a win on Monday night against the Chargers and they go in to the bye week 3-2 and you start getting healthy again, you figure this team starts building that confidence back that maybe they lost a little bit through those 2 weeks.
No, and I agree with you. And the Saints, I'm waiting on trying to pull it up right quick, that injury report for today's practice. I'll pull it up in a second. But when you talk about some of those guys, I know Andres Pete was back at practice. You know, I know Marshawn was back. Jared Cook was back. I think Lattimore was back. The question is, how much were they involved? You know, and so mm-hmm. whether it was just having them out there, we'll take that. It may have been a limited participation, but just having them out there, you know, we'll definitely take that. And so, you know, when you talk about having some of the guys that don't get to play that much, from a confidence standpoint, not only for that player, it's going to build their confidence up, but from a coaching standpoint, to know that a player can handle XYZ, it's going to help with that as well. They're not going to feel like it's too much. And now I understand, you know, you may have simplified some things in this certain situation, and so you know some things that he does a little bit better. And I think in that instance, then that definitely helps. You know, from both really, you know, when you talk about the player and the coach.
All right, Deuce and I have a lot to go here tonight. We've got a young and talented quarterback across the field for the L.A. Chargers, Justin Herbert, who's really started on fire here early on in his career. Deuce and I will break him down a little bit. We're also going to get a little bit deeper into this matchup for you. We'll talk about LSU a little later in the show as they travel up to Missouri to take on the Tigers. And, of course, a little fantasy football action at the end of this one. Lots to come here. You're listening to Fans and the Pros on WWL. You know, Detroit last week was a really good team for our music, Deuce, right? We had a good time with the music selection last week. LA's pretty good. I don't know if it's as good as Detroit. Certainly different. But it's pretty good.
It's different, but it is pretty good. And, you know, you think about the Hollywood aspect of it, and you know, we know that it's changed a little bit now. Hollywood South is getting some of those opportunities, but you know, that's from a musical standpoint, that's still where a lot of it is born.
One of the things that's kind of hard, you know, when I'm sitting there making the list up today, is there's a lot of people, a lot of bands, you know, that quote unquote formed in LA, right? Born mm-hmm. in Georgia, met in Oklahoma, formed in L.A., right? Meaning, well, that's where the music companies were, so they got shipped out
right,
to L.A.
Right, that's where they had to go.
Music careers. So I was trying to kind of balance a little bit of, like, people that are actually, you know, actually were in, you know, L.A. to begin with, or because there's a lot of that. It's hard to kind of separate a little bit, but oh well, it is what it is. So, Deuce, before we left, we started talking about injuries with the Saints. It's obviously a big part of the game last week. But if you look on the other side of the field, if you're a Saints fan and you feel like, man, why can't we catch a break? No one else is dealing with this. The Los Angeles Chargers are about as beat up, and this seems to be a yearly thing with the Chargers.
Right.
Like, to a severe level, right? Yesterday for the Chargers, did not practice Joey Bosa, Brian Bulaga, Austin Eckler, Trey Turner, Mike Williams. Now, Austin Eckler in the game last week had a pretty severe hamstring injury. They expect him to possibly go on IR. They think
they put him on there today.
Did he go on? Okay.
Yeah.
Brian Bulaga is your starting right tackle. Trey Turner is your starting left guard. Mike Williams, your number two wide receiver. Joey Bosa is probably at this point the best player on your football team.
Yeah, just those four, or at least Mike Williams and Joey Bosa, returned to practice today. Trey Turner and Brian Bulaga, I don't know if they practiced. They may have returned, but I don't know if they were limited in their practice report. And so that still hadn't been released yet. But I know just from following some of the guys out in L.A., those two, Mike Williams and Joey Bosa, did practice or were practicing. Trey Turner and Brian Bulaga, that's still yet to be determined if they were just limited to participants or they missed it completely.
And if you look at this team, you know, the injury report does not tell the story, unfortunately, if you're an L.A. Chargers fan. They lost Derwin James in training camp this year to an injury. They lost Mike Pouncey before training camp started this year. They've lost Chris Harris. And each of those guys, again, Derwin James might be the number one safety in football. Mike Pouncey, you know, when he has played, although injuries have really plagued his career, one of the top centers in football. And Chris Harris was a big free agent acquisition for them from the Broncos. And so, you know, another team that is not necessarily the group that was put together by the Chargers. And so, you know, a lot of those guys, more serious injuries than we've seen in New Orleans, where, like you said, most of our guys were able to return this week. Andrus, Jared Cook, Ryan Ramczyk, Marcus Davenport, Lattimore, Mike Thomas. You know, all guys that had missed time that came back to practice this week. And we'll see what happens there. But if you're going to talk about the Chargers right now, and we must, it really all starts the quarterback position for this team right now. Justin Herbert, the first-round pick of the Chargers this year out of Oregon, has really been as good as the Chargers could have ever hoped for through three games. And really, you know, Justin Herbert was a guy that a lot of people were very up and down on going through the draft process. He was not, you know, the Joe Burrow, this guy's going to be a star. You know, he was a high pick. He's a talented kid. But there's a lot of people that didn't think that he was going to translate real well. He's translated really well so far.
He's definitely translated really well. And I think, you know, it was just because his play was so up and down. And, you know, you felt like, hey, look, it's Pac-12, it's Oregon. You know, will it translate? Defensively, you may see maybe three or four really, really good defenses. And he was just, I don't want to call it erratic. At times, he was erratic. And so, you know, people just felt like he would take some time to develop. And, you know, what he's been able to do, the couple of games that he's replaced Tyrod Taylor, you know, the original plan with Anthony Lynn was, hey, look, we like him. We want to develop him. We have a veteran, Tyrod Taylor. That's the reason we did not go after Cam Newton. This is the direction that we're going. Well, Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, and just as recently as last week, Anthony Lynn was still saying – that was before the game now – was still saying that Tyrod Taylor is my starting quarterback. Well, basically this week he has basically said, hey, look, I love you, Tyrod Taylor, but I'm not going to be hard-headed and deny some of the things that this kid is doing because he's a special player. But, you know, he is also a young player, and he will give you opportunities to be able to, you know, pick the ball off. But if you allow him, they like to run some RPOs with him. You know, they like to move him around. He's a guy that will take the old school traditional 10-step drop. I mean, so he's not seven. and a hitch and getting rid of it. He will take 10 steps, you know, as far as way back. But he has an arm where he can sling it 40, 50 yards as they try to let some of those deep, deep routes kind of develop.
We certainly saw that against the Bucs, a 50-touchdown pass in that game, a 72-yard touchdown pass in that football game. But here's, I think the physical skill side of being an NFL quarterback is something that's very scoutable, right? You can watch a guy throw. You can see him make the throws. You can see him run around. You can see him go through a read. You know, there's a lot of that stuff is very scoutable. What's hard to scout is the guy tough, right? Is he going to be mentally tough enough to play as a young quarterback in the NFL? Because it is mentally a whole new world for these guys. You know, the amount of time that is required of you at this level, the amount of pressure and expectation placed on you as a quarterback in the National Football League, you know, the way, you know, it's just different than college football is. You want your quarterback to be a leader in college. The good ones are. But the NFL and being able to stand in a huddle with 29, 30-year-old men who have been doing it for a long time, it's a different situation. Justin Herbert tells this story that he found out that he was starting his first game against the defending Super Bowl champs, against the guy who most say is the number one quarterback in the National Football League right now, Patrick Mahomes, while the opening kickoff was in the air. Think about that. So before that game, Tyrod Taylor, who had been injured in the first week against the Bengals, had a rib injury. They were going to let him go in before the game, after the warm-up. He was going to take a shot, try to calm down some of that pain for the bruised ribs, and they punctured his lung with a needle. And so they didn't know, you know, obviously I would imagine they didn't know exactly what had happened immediately. The team kind of goes out of the locker room, take the field. Justin Herbert standing out there like, here we go. You know, first get a chance to see, you know, Patrick Mahomes in person. And a lot of the team apparently did not realize that Tyrod didn't come out of the locker room with them. And Anthony Lynn finds out right before kickoff, hey, there's been an accident. Tyrod is down. And he walks to his rookie quarterback, who he's been telling the entire world, the entire offseason, he needs to develop, and he's going to sit behind Tyrod, and, you know, he's not there yet. And he goes, hey, you're in. That's a tough situation. I mean, that is a tough situation to put
it's a tough
your young quarterback in.
It's a tough situation, but that may be the best situation for him. You didn't help him with preparation because the game plan is definitely not for him. And, you know, you always prepare as the number two guy that you're going to get in and play. But, I mean, literally, it probably would have been a little different if they had, you know, maybe announced the guys. But since there's no fans, what type of announcement are you going to have? You know, it's just a team. You run out there. Well, unless they have some routine that they do together, he's probably not even thinking about it. Well, where's Tyrod? You know, I'm looking around. He may be on the other end. And they come up and they tell the head coach, hey, there's been an accident. You know, he's down. And the coach probably looks at him like, are you serious? And, yeah, well, you got to get the rookie in. And he goes out and he plays really, really well. And his confidence has really grown, and I know one of the comments he made at that time, man, this is fun. it's amazing. And so you talk about a weird introduction to the NFL. It's one that obviously it doesn't happen every Sunday, but he has probably exceeded the early expectation by far when you talk about young rookie quarterbacks, someone that they didn't even really intend to get to play at all this year.
Deuce, you know how many minutes the Chargers trailed in that football game versus the Chiefs?
No, I don't.
0 minutes.
Kick the field goal.
They let them from the jump. they lost that game in overtime, so there was zero seconds of that football game the Chargers trailed. So, you know, Justin Herbert in that game, 22 of 33, 311 yards, a touchdown and an interception. But at the end of the day, they had 28 first downs in that football game. They racked up 479 yards. They ran the ball very well offensively. But listen, my point is this. They found themselves a guy, right? And that is the number one goal of every franchise in the National Football League, is to find that franchise-level starting quarterback. And Justin Herbert, to this point in his career, has proven to be that guy thus far. He's thrown for 931 yards this year, 5 touchdowns. He's completing 72% of his passes. So, you know, it's a combination of things. I think the offense, even the offense that was for Tyrod Taylor, fits him well. You know, he's a good athlete. He can move around. I think a lot of people saw him as being probably underrated athletically. And he's doing a really good job getting the ball out of his hands. He's making quick decisions. You know, so he is a challenge. And when you look at, you know, what he's done in those three games, you know, it's kind of ironic being down in Louisiana. He was 10 yards shy of being the first rookie quarterback in history to open his career with 3 straight 300-yard games. You know who actually broke it that week was Joe Burrow. So it's kind of an interesting deal that, you know, you've got two guys, and you know this, and we've seen this a lot in history. When you have two guys come in together like that, that are both that prolific, they are attached forever.
That's true.
Right?
I mean,
attached
that
forever.
That goes back to, what was it, the 84 quarterback class with Marino and Elway and all those guys?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they always compared it. Well, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl, but he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, you know, his quick release. And so I agree. You're always going to be attached, and just based off of Ryan Leaf, you know, Peyton Manning, the same thing. You know, which guy should have went one? Which guy went two? How did their careers play out? Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and the former Charger quarterback,
Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers. You know, who has had the best career? That's always something that, you know, that's just how it is. Particularly when you have that high. That type of quarterbacks drafted that high. Same thing with Mahomes and Trubisky and, you know, Watson. Same deal, as well as Lamar.
Now, one of the things that is going to be interesting to see how they kind of adjust is the running game has been really solid for this team since he has come in to be the starter. They've done a good job of you know, running the football, you know, And yet they lose Austin Eckler last week. And he really has been, for this team for a couple of years now, kind of the engine, right? You've got kind of the big play flash guy in Keenan Allen, who's been prolific for them at the wide receiver position. But Austin Eckler has been a guy that they have really fed the ball to, very much like we know Alvin Kamara.
Correct.
And to lose a player like Austin Eckler is a big deal for an offense. You know, we saw that here last year, losing Alvin Kamara, but even more so when he came back and wasn't, you know, 100%, and he wasn't himself. You can see, especially for a young quarterback, losing that outlet valve, losing that consistent guy that you can constantly go to, can suddenly make decisions a little bit harder. You don't have that security blanket ready to catch a ball and make 8 yards out of it, right? And so that'll be interesting to see how that affects him. Joshua Kelly, the rookie out of UCLA, is the guy who's gotten most of the work since Austin, you know, got hurt in the last game. And he's a good football player. He's actually had more carries on the season than Eckler has now after a healthy dose against the Buccaneers. But he hasn't been super effective. He's averaging less than 3.5 a carry. He's had a couple of fumbles on the year. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, one of the things that Sean Payton always talked about with young quarterbacks is you're going to force them to march down the field. Do not let a young quarterback hit a 72-yard touchdown pass on you, right? Because inevitably what your assumption is that young players eventually make mistakes and make them incrementally work the ball down the field. Well, losing that relief valve in a guy like Austin Ekeler, a dynamic guy that can catch a ball out of the backfield and make something with it, is a big deal to an offense if they're forced to move the ball down the field like that.
No, I agree. And I mean, that's the thing is you want to make them have to string together 9 to 10 plays, 11 plays without having to make a mistake. And not to say that the quarterback would be the one to make a mistake. You know, maybe he misses a throw. Maybe it's an offensive lineman that misses a block, you know, but you can't allow them to have chunk plays. You can't allow them just to have explosive plays where it's plus 20, it's plus 40, it's plus 7, and, you know, I mean, plus 7, 70. And so if that's how you're allowing a young quarterback to be able to go out there and operate, not only from a confidence standpoint, but he's not having to put any drives together. When he has a 4-play drive, a 5-play drive, 6-play drive, that's not what you want. You want him to be able to or have to, if he's going to score on you, it's got to be a plus 10. It's got to be plus 14. And to see, will he make a mistake? Try to force him into a mistake. And so I think that's why you want to have, when you're playing that coverage, you want to have everything up underneath him. You know, you want to be able to drive on the football. You want to show him different looks. You can't allow him to get comfortable as far as in the pocket. The one thing that he is, you know, you said it, he's probably a little bit better athlete than you imagine. So, you know, he can get out on the edge. They're going to show you the bootleg. They are going to show you the bootleg. It may be a different version of what you saw this past week, but you have to be able to defend it. You know, you have to be able to stay in your rush lanes when it's third and long, because if you don't, he is a guy that can step up in the pocket and pick it up with his legs.
Another guy they'll be looking to kind of become that safety valve, the tight end, Hunter Henry. Obviously, we all have had some nightmares about the tight end coverage in some of these games this year with the Saints. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Deuce and I want to hear from you, though. You can check in with Deuce and I, 504-260-1870. Give us a call on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line. Lots to come here. You're listening to Fans and the Pros on WWL. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. Little Red Hot Chili Peppers for you. We're going to go to the phone lines, the Mortgage Financial phone and text line. Let's go to Steve in New Orleans. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How you doing, Steve? What do you got for us?
How you doing, man?
Oh,
doing
great.
Man, this is what I got to say. I think they missed the preseason. I think they really do miss the preseason. I could tell by Drew Brees missing the preseason. Even though they're veterans, you still got to play something to get yourself together to start the season. But I'm going to say this. They want to know in their division. They're 2-2, and I think the trap game was the Raiders. Everybody was thinking they was going to kill the Raiders. I didn't think so because of John Gruden. He coached Tampa Bay, and that's a division rival with the Saints. He knew the Saints. He knew the Saints. John Gruden.
How long ago was it when John Gruden coached at Tampa Bay?
Oh, when they won the Super Bowl. When they took over for Tony Dungy.
When was that?
Oh, man, that's back in the early 2000s.
That's my point. So there's nothing that he knows about the Saints. I was playing back then. You see what I'm saying?
Okay,
so you
but
can't
guess
say.
What, still,
I ain't played in almost 10 years.
That don't mean nothing, man. That don't mean a thing. What I'm saying is this. He was a division rival for the Saints. He was a division rival for the Saints. Okay?
I understand what you're saying, but I just don't agree with it. I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree with you.
Best thing about it, they want to know in their division. That really matters. And I don't think nobody else won a game in their division. I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't been keeping up with it. But I think the Saints are 1-0 in their division. I think that matters very much. I don't think the Saints are going to be 13-3 this year. I really don't. But I think they're going to win their division. Like 10-6, something like that. That's what I think.
Losing one game moving forward is not going to be easy, you know, for the Saints. But let's be honest, 13-3 is a pretty exceptional record that they've pulled off the last couple of years. You don't necessarily need to be 13-3, and quite honestly, seeding this year in the playoffs is almost irrelevant.
Right.
It really is. What crowd are you afraid to go play in front of?
Oh man, so, it's right? Yours, man.
Just
Minnesota.
Get into, just just get into the tournament.
Minnesota, the thing is, they cannot beat Minnesota. Why? I don't know. Every time they play Minnesota in the playoffs, they lose to Minnesota. Why? I don't know.
You can't really say that, Steve, because they beat Minnesota to go to the Super Bowl. Certainly recent history is not good with the Vikings. But I'll tell you this. The Vikings ain't going to the playoffs this year, so I don't think we have to worry about that.
Well,
they're
maybe not. But I tell you what. The team that just lost it, the team that lost it 2 weeks ago, Green Bay, that's another Northern Division team you got to look out for.
I'll tell you this. I agree with you there. Well, that's because Deuce is afraid of the cold, but there is nowhere in this league that any Saints fan should be worried about going to play in the playoffs. The cold weather thing is a complete farce. This team will travel very well in cold weather. Can you stop the run and can you run the football? That's what this team's best at right now.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with either one of those statements. The other part, earlier statement as far as they missed the preseason. No, I don't think they missed the preseason as far as timing is concerned. I think they missed the OTAs and the extended amount of practices. That's what you miss. You miss the timing. I mean, it's not necessarily the games that you go out there and play, because Drew wasn't going to play a quarter completely all four games anyway. And so it's not like he was going to be out there as far as the preseason was concerned, and not just Drew. There were numerous players that would have been in that same category. If you added all four of the games up, the amount of plays that they play may have been a quarter, if that. And so that wasn't a problem. You talk about the OTAs, the off-season workouts, the throws, the number of throws, and then not having to compress so much with the abbreviated preseason that you did have. You know, you just don't have to do it. And so it's taken offensively. It's taken a while, and defensively as well, to get back to where at least you were in last year's, I guess when you were playing pretty good football before some of the injuries started to hit you.
Steven, man, we appreciate the phone call. Good stuff. Deuce, it's a very interesting year in a lot of ways, clearly. But I think the playoffs this year, the seeding, it's irrelevant for the Saints.
Yeah, because if you're not the overall conference winner, everybody's on the road. You get an extra team in for a wild card, but not necessarily on the road. You get to host still division winners, but
yes, you get most, to host most, the game with yeah, with mo- what 8,000 people watching. Hopefully,
well, and that's what I was about to say. Only stadium that I know of that will be capacity is that's in Florida, and I don't even know if they're going to do that as far as the teams.
Right. Yep. All right, this is Fans and the Pros. You're listening to WWO.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.